count your blessings, every little blessing. Go ahead and name them one by one, one by one.
Why don't you
count your blessings, every little blessing. See what the Lord has done, what he's done. Count your blessings, every little blessing, name them one by one. And it will surprise you what the Lord has done. When you're feeling tempest-tossed, so discouraged, thinking all is lost, count your blessings, name them one by one. And it will surprise you what the Lord has done. Count your blessings, every little blessing. Go ahead and name them one by one, one by one.
Why don't you
count your blessings, every little blessing. See what the Lord has done, what he's done. Count your blessings, every little blessing. Name them one by one. And it will surprise you what the Lord has done.
Are you burdened with a load of care?
The cross is heavy, you must bear.
Count your blessings, every downhill fall.
Every downhill fall. You'll be singing as the days go by, go by. Count your blessings, every little blessing. Go ahead and name them one by one, one by one. Count your blessings, every little blessing. See what the Lord has done, what he's done. Count your blessings, every little blessing. Name them one by one. And it will surprise you. And it will surprise you. And it will surprise you what the Lord has done. Count your blessings. Name them one by one. Count your blessings. See what God has done.
Blessings,
see what God has done.
Amen. Well, that was a blessing. I'm counting that as one of my blessings. And I don't quite know how to take that, though, you know, just as, you know, I come in, it's like, hey, here's this guy in preaching, count your blessings, that you don't have to hear him on a regular basis, or that you finally got rid of him after 13 years. I don't know, but It is good to be here, and I got to say thank you so much, preacher, for letting me come back. It's a blessing. It is good to be here and be able to preach to the young people and be able to preach behind your pulpit. And it's been a good time over in Iowa, and it's different. I kind of had this thought. I said it in chapel today. When I was driving over here, I thought about how we were driving to the place that had been home for 13 years. And I say it like that because whenever the Lord moves you, he moves your heart too. And I don't mean that as a slight against you all. We love you and we count you as dear friends but you got to understand that when the Lord does something, it's just a little bit different. And I feel the oppression now as I drive into Illinois. I can feel it. I'm not far from it, but I'm far enough. I'm far enough away to enjoy it. So, you know, we had the craziest thing happen about, I would say, a month ago, 2 months ago. All of the kids were going to my parents' house. And so Lee and I were driving. We dropped the kids off up in, you know, just kind of like in a nowhere place. And then from there, and it was in Illinois, but it was, you know, up the ways, kind of in their direction. And then from where we dropped them off, we were actually driving up to my uncle's house. My uncle has a wood splitter that we needed. We're living the country life now. So we needed a wood splitter. So we were going there to get that. So here we are. We're kind of in the middle of nowhere, and there's a white flash. Like, all of a sudden, Leah, who's, you know, got quicker reflexes, able to see that quickly. She goes, Faith Baptist Church of Bourbonnais. I said, no, it's not. And I thought, you know what? I helped buy that van. So I put the pedal to the metal. I didn't catch up until they finally, there were some cars in front. And I'm embellishing a little, but I finally caught up with them. And there's Brother Joe and Brother Dennis. They're driving down the road. And then it made sense. Brother Dennis is driving. And so I called Brother Joe, and I think I said, hey, where are you at right now? He said, well, I'm driving in Iowa. I said, look to your right. And there we were. And so, but it was good to see them. And, but we've been having a good time over in Iowa. And I think it's just kind of my luck. I think I don't know if it's people are drawn to me of this sort, but we always have unique things that happen. No matter where I go, whether it's, you know, singing a special down here at a funeral and, you know, turning into a duet or whatever it is. But I always have unique things happen. And I'm just getting started. You know, it's a Wednesday night and I look in the back and this guy comes walking in. And he's got his cell phone out, and I can kind of tell. And he's sitting down, and so I'm kind of keeping an eye on him. And we're taking prayer requests. So okay, over here. And I get to the back, and there's this guy. He's got his hand up. I said, okay, yes, sir. What can I do for you? Like, whoa, here we go. And he says, hey, remember me? I said, no, I do not. He said, can I come up there and give you a hug? No, you cannot. And and so I said, you got anything? And I don't remember what he said. And so I said, okay, well, thank you, sir. And I went on. Well, then, you know, during prayer time, let's all pray. I wasn't about to go down and, you know, turn my back to him. So I went over there. Hello, sir. What can I, you know, who are you again? And he says, I'm Bob from Circle K. Now, you got to understand, Circle K. Okay, some of you already know. Circle K is kind of a spot for me, but there's a special Circle K in Burlington. Like, no joke, I've gotten like 6 visitors out of that Circle K. That might speak to how often I've been there. And just a little plug in here. You guys ever heard of Sip and Save? You know, it's a good value. It's very good for the finances. Helps me anyway. So pay $6 a month and you get one drink every day, and you can go every single day and get a drink. But anyway, what were we talking about? Circle K. So I've gotten a number of visitors from Circle K, and this was one of the workers that was there. And he slipped in the back but you know, he's got his cell phone out and I can tell he's like, so when I went back there and I talked to him, he's got like 4 guys that he's talking to on his cell phone. He's like, what is happening here? And everybody's kind of on edge. I got this guy and he, you know, he was in the military and he's kind of, you know, gets kind of edgy. And so he's looking around and I'm like, what is this guy doing? And of all things, that night, my message was on capital punishment. So I'm preaching on the death penalty. And he felt led of the Lord to leave. And I don't know what he was doing. I've stopped soul winning at Circle K lately. But anyway, the Lord's been blessing. You know, just God, whenever, you know, whenever you go, God brings people in, God brings people out. I feel like, you know, it's been a net gain as opposed to the otherwise. And, the Lord's just really, we've ended up having a really good summer. And, you know, I wish I could say it's because, you know, we did extra soul. We haven't. Just we're going through a season where the Lord's just given a little extra out there. And went through a stretch where for a number of weeks we were having baptisms regularly. It was like for 5 weeks we had like 7 baptisms. And I mean, that's just an exciting thing. And you know, I wish I could come in here and say it's like that every week, but it's not. You know, it's not. You go through times when it's like that, and you go through times when it's not. And you're like talking to the kids. You sure you don't need to get saved again? We need to stir those baptistry waters. So come on. Just repeat after me. No. But Lee is tired of getting saved at this point. So we... it's been good, though. And, you know, it's just the Lord being able to do something. And it's nothing more than his grace being able to take, you know, sinful man and be able to do something. Regularly, I'll take the things that I've been taught through the years here and I'll introduce them as my own ideas over there. They've really enjoyed my sermon snake bite and others like the invisible you that went over really well. I've got 13 years worth of sermons that I can preach, you know? but the Lord is good. And, I'm thankful for the 13 years that I was able to serve here and serve for Pastor Angel. He's a friend, he's a hero. And then also to serve with you all as well, just friends all over the room. And I appreciate your friendship, even though Reed wouldn't put any money in the offering. I really appreciate your friendship. And but take your Bibles, turn over to Luke chapter number 8. Luke chapter number 8. There have been a couple of times when as the offering plates go around, you know, I just, you know, I don't really look closely, but I notice. And so, you know, I feel like saying, pass them around again. I thought about doing that tonight, but I didn't. So Luke 8. So let's all stand. Luke 8, chapter number 8, verse number 41. If you'll excuse me just for having a little bit of fun. You know, it's fun to be back here. It's fun to be with some friends. And so. In chapel today, we just had a lot of fun, had a good time in there. And, I don't know that I got too much seriousness at all, but, had a lot of fun with the young people. And so I appreciate you, allowing me to, you know, just, share with you a little bit what's going on. But Luke chapter 8, verse number 41, it says, and behold, there came a man named Jairus, and he was a ruler of the synagogue. And he fell down at Jesus' feet and besought him that he would come into his house. For he had one only daughter, about 12 years of age, and she lay a dying. But as he went, the people thronged him. Look at verse number 49. While he yet spake, there cometh one from the ruler of the synagogue's house, saying to him, thy daughter is dead. Trouble not the master. Tonight the message will be that thought, trouble not the master. Father, I understand this is a Wednesday night, and this is the night when we typically do a Bible study. But Lord, I pray that you'd please just be with the thought tonight. Though it's not very deep, it's something that we all can use. And I believe that there might be some in here tonight that can use it more than others. So I ask that you would please take just the simplicity of the message and help it to ring true in hearts and apply it in areas that I can't apply it, and to point it and, Lord, just help it to have an effect because of you and because of your truth, because of your word. Pray that you be with a thought tonight. In your name we pray. Amen. Be seated. Jesus comes into town and automatically he's swamped by a crowd of people. Verse number 40 says, for they were all waiting for him. And of all the people that were waiting for Jesus was a man by the name of Jairus. Now, Jairus was a very important man. He was a ruler of the synagogue there in Capernaum. We're not told when it started, how long she had it, or even what her problem was. But Jairus and his wife knew all too well. Their only child, their little girl was not well. They had done all they could, called all the specialists and paid for the best. But that yielded no results. They were forced to watch their little girl get weaker and weaker by the day. I can picture Jairus and his wife maybe sitting up late at night and They're looking at one and another, and they're talking through options, and they're talking to talking about what they should do. And one of them says, "But what about that man from Galilee? Jairus has seen quite a bit from him. He saw Jesus heal multitudes. He had even seen Jesus cast demons out of people that were uncontrollable. But Jairus, he's the one that disregards the Sabbath. He quotes scriptures like he wrote them himself, but ignores the laws. If you go to him, you can lose your power and authority in the synagogue. I know, but if I don't, our little girl will die." I can picture as all night long, Jairus is unsettled. He can't sleep. However, as the night lingers on, he's even more resolved than ever before that this man of Galilee, that this Jesus is the answer to their problems. I can picture as he says, "He did it before. I know he can do it again." So the next day he was up and he's in town before anyone even knew it. He waited nervously for Jesus to arrive. He would go, maybe check the gates and nothing. He wasn't the only one that knew Jesus was coming. More and more and more yet poured into the town gates waiting for the man from Galilee to show. Jairus paced frequently, but then couldn't help but sit down and let himself daze into a worry and constant prayer that this man would heal his poor little girl. Before he knew it, the frenzy was upon him. There he was, Jesus. All of a sudden, it hit him like a ton of bricks. His pride kicked into high gear. What will they think? I'm going to be mocked. I'm going to lose all that I've worked for. He was so ashamed. He was so frustrated, and tears poured down his face as he shot out and he pushed his way through the crowd, and throwing all of his pride away, he fell on the ground and he clutched Jesus' feet, crying out, "Please, Jesus, please help my daughter. Please save her. I need you to come to my house now, please." He couldn't care less what people thought. He only cared about the little one that meant the world to him back at home. I can see as the crowd stop and they recognize who's on the ground. They know who that is. That's Jairus, the ruler of the synagogue. Jesus looked down and with a look of care, he said to Jairus, "Okay, really? You're going to come home with me? Let's go. Come on." But just like that, the crowd started to come in. In my mind, I kind of picture Jairus as he's a NFL fullback. And he's leading Jesus through the crowd as he's trying to push people out of his way. And as he's trying to move and as he's trying to get Jesus to his little girl. And he's leading the way that way he can get Jesus. And then all of a sudden, Jesus stops. And Jesus says, "Who touched me?" And then all of a sudden, there's a woman with problems of her own. There's a woman who's got her own needs, her own issues. This is the woman with the issue of blood. And Jesus stops for a while, and Jesus takes care of that issue, and he takes care of the problems that she has. And as Jesus is there and he takes care of her, Jairus, he's happy for her and he's excited that she can get help. But Jairus can't help but get antsy. Jairus is pacing and his eyes are like, "Come on, we got to go. Jesus, come on, don't you know?" And while he's healing her, verse number 49, look at it again. "And while he yet spake, there cometh one from the ruler of the synagogue's house, Jairus' house, saying to him, 'Thy daughter is dead. Trouble not the master.'" Tonight there may be some people, and I don't know, there may be some people who find themselves in a similar situation as Jairus. Oh no, maybe it's not your only daughter that's sick. Maybe it's not your only daughter that's at a point of death. But maybe there have been some people around you, and maybe recently, maybe at work or someplace else, there are some people around you that have been casting doubts upon Jesus' abilities And maybe you even yourself have been wondering about what the use is. And you've been thinking to yourself, why trouble the master? That name has been on the prayer list for years and years and years. And we've been praying for him to get saved. Why trouble the master? And even tonight, as we looked at some names, I'm sure your eyes glance across the name that's been there. And for a while, the thought has been, maybe not exactly, but it still had the same thought of why trouble the master? There's no use. Too far gone. Cancer will never be gone. That cancer is just going to get worse. The health condition, the mental pain, it's not going anywhere. Why trouble the master? Young people today, they see the concerns that they have compared to the needs of their parents and maybe the needs of adults around them. And they draw the conclusion, my needs aren't as big or as vast as the needs of my mom and dad. My dad needs a job. My dad needs a job. My need is very small. It's relatively insignificant. And so even young people think, why trouble the master? I'm just having struggle in my school subjects. Why trouble the master? Hey, I'm just having a problem with this little area and that little area. Why should I bring this little insignificant thing? Why should I take that problem that is way too far gone? Why even deal with it anymore? Adults, although we're all seemingly put together, there are times that even in the church pew, we can start to make a mess of our lives. We can start dabbling and looking, and we can struggle with things that come in. Maybe it's on the job side, or maybe it's some other influence that comes in. And if you're not careful, you'll have all these different things come in, and you start struggling, and you just want to maintain a good appearance, but it seems like you're just getting trapped in that web. You can't get loose from the web, and the more you try and pull yourself out of it, you just can't. And it's like, how can I do it? I've been trying and I've been failing. What's the use? Why trouble the master? Maybe you feel that you've gone too far. It's too late. There's no hope. My Bible still tells me in Isaiah 59, behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy that it cannot hear. Let me point you to Jairus this evening. Jairus was a man who seemingly went from little hope to all hope being gone. His daughter was sick at the point of death, but now she is dead. His little girl wasn't on her last breath. She had already taken it. She was dead. As a parent, it doesn't get any worse than that. As a little one, maybe there's a sickness and you feel helpless. You try everything that you can, but man, it's like, what can I do? I don't know. And you feel helpless to that. And I think the biggest fear that I have as a parent is to see that little one just step off into oblivion. I don't know. I want to put a cocoon around them. And I know the Lord is good. And I know the Lord will take them. And I trust that they trusted Christ as their Savior. But I can't help it. I want to see that little one grow up, and I want to see them walk down the aisle and get married, and I want to see them have a life, and I want to have a good long life, and I want to see them serving the Lord. That's what I want as a parent. And I get so scared at times when I think about the direction that our world is headed. I look around and I see the insanity. And I think, well, why trouble the master? This thing is just getting so bad. This thing is getting so... I just want to pull him into my little cocoon. I just want to keep him safe, and I want to protect him because I don't want anything to happen to them. But the worst had happened. And that is when Jesus spoke up. Look at verse number 50. But when Jesus heard it, he answered him, saying, fear not, believe only, and she shall be made whole. Listen, that is when Jesus spoke up. Hey, again tonight, let me tell you that when we're at our lowest, it is not meant to crush you. It's meant to cause us to fear not and to believe only. I'm not saying that everything's going to turn up roses. I'm saying that when we are weak, He is strong. Hey, when we give Him complete control, I'll tell you what, He's a whole lot better driver than you or I. You know, when I get back to that cocoon set mind and our mindset, and I think about that, I'm like, I got to, and then I realize, wait a second, He's got to. He's got to. And He's the one that needs to take care of it. And when we get to that point, whatever it might be, maybe it's a small thing, maybe it's a big thing, maybe somebody's got a bigger problem than others for sure, but let me say that what God is trying to do is trying to get you to the point where He will get you to hear Him say, fear not, believe only. And this is when He speaks to us. He speaks to us at this point. Hey, He speaks to us when our world is being turned upside down. I can speak from experience in a little part. When our world is being turned upside down and we're just looking around, it's like, what's happening? He wants to speak. He speaks to us through the promises that we already know. He speaks to us through the preaching of His word. He speaks to us through the still small voice that is able to speak volumes. He speaks. In chapter number 7 of Luke, it talks about how He speaks to the woman. And He says, thy faith hath saved thee. Go in peace. In Luke chapter 8 and verse 8, He says to the multitude, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. To His disciples in verse 25, He says, where is your faith? To the man possessed with demons. In verse number 30, He says, what is thy name? In verse number 45, to the woman with an issue of blood, who touched me? Each of these people, listen, each of these people were going through something, and to each of these people, Jesus had something to say that would turn them to Him. He had something to say. Let me tell you, Christian, this is why you need to come to church as much as you can. I appreciate that you came out on a Wednesday night. This is why, because we need to hear Him speak. Yeah, sure, God can speak to you in the Word of God, but there's something special about coming to this place and hearing the Word of God preached, whether it's just in a Bible study. Man, we have enjoyed some Bible studies on Wednesday nights, not because Pastor Hall has, man, you really put something together, but because God's Word can speak in an amazing way. When you open it up and you start learning what it says, it's an amazing thing because He's speaking. I love that thought, three to thrive. And I copy that, heard that a few times. It gives you more opportunity to hear Him speak. Hey, when you open up the Word of God every single morning, I hope that you do that so you can hear Him speak, because you need to hear Him speak. God's Word, it's like a fire. It's like a hammer that breaks into pieces. It's like a two-edged sword. It's like a lamp and a light. It's like an anchor. It nourishes. It guides. It cleanses. It gives strength and it gives security. It produces fruit. It gives victory. It creates and it gives life. His words were powerful all the way back in creation, and they're even powerful now. But most of the time, listen, we don't want to hear Him speak. We just want Him to act. No. We want the miracle Jesus. Is that what we want? See, that's what we want from all of this. We pray not so we can hear Him speak. We pray so we can see the miracle. You know what? Sometimes what He speaks is the miracle. Sometimes the word that He speaks, it brings the miraculous in us and not in the situation. It's not always easy to see a loved one go down the path of old age or health decay. And sometimes we just want him to just fix it. You did it before. Come on, can't we just parade these people by you, Jesus, and have you heal them? He says, but you know what? If I did that, I wouldn't be able to give you the miraculous thing that you really need. And that miraculous thing that you need is to fear not, believe only. It's not how it works. Many times what God does is he speaks and he just wants to see how you respond. And if we'll respond at his word and his word only. Maybe there's some of us in here that God has been speaking to and he's been waiting for you to respond. He's been waiting for you to do something. And Jesus, he's challenging Jairus here to stop fearing, but to keep believing in him even when it seems impossible. Look at verse number 51. I'll hurry up. Look at verse number 51. And when he came into the... So let's... Hold on. Jairus' daughter is sick. He gets to Jesus. He gets Jesus to say, yeah, I'll come to your house. I'll go. And as they're on their way, he gets stopped. Jesus helps somebody else with their problem. And then Jairus' daughter dies. Jesus says, that's all right. Believe only. And he keeps walking with Jairus all along the way. He keeps walking with Jairus along the path to his house. And he gets to the house, and when he came into the house, verse 51, he suffered no man to go in, save Peter and James and John, and the father and the mother of the maiden, and all wept and bewailed her. But he said, weep not, she is not dead, but sleepeth. Now look at verse 53. And they laughed him to scorn, knowing that she was dead. You know, the carnal person is not going to understand. Go ahead and go to your job tomorrow and talk to them about what God does in your heart on a Wednesday night. Wait, you did what last night? And they want to tell you what they did on a Wednesday night, if they can even remember it. But you did what? Yeah, I was at church. Hey, go ahead on a Monday morning, walk in and talk about what God spoke to your heart about in the preaching of God's word throughout Sunday school and Sunday morning and Sunday night. Go ahead. Hey, Sunday school teacher, go try and tell your coworker about the nugget of truth that God gave you while you were studying for your Sunday school lesson. They're going to be excited. Really? God's word said that? They're not going to be. They're going to be what? Wait a second. You're going through what? And you can still smile? Yeah. That does not make any sense. I don't see how you could do that. But friend, if you're going through something and God's word speaks to you in a special way, man, you can hold on to it. It's got to be true. I can tell you time after time after time again, as I sat right behind where Pastor Angel is, as I'm sitting there, or maybe I'm sitting up here. Well, let's see here. Yeah, that'd be about right here where it was at before. I'm sitting right here, and then all of a sudden, as something just in my heart that I'm going through that nobody else knows about, but I'm struggling with and I need help with, and the Word of God is being preached, and all of a sudden, God just, wham! Whoa! Say what? And God is able to say, hey, you know that, well, this is, and this is how, oh. You know, how many times does God speak to your heart and you say, wow, that, Pastor Angel, that was a great message. That was really good. And then we forget about it. We forget about the word that God spoke to us. The thing that was miraculous of an event. Forget about it. And we go tomorrow and it goes and it's like nothing happened. Nothing changed. God's word says it, it's true. 1 Corinthians 2:14 says, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, but they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. Romans 8, verse number 5 says, for they that are of the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are of the, after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, and to be spiritually minded is life and peace. So when Jesus walked in, when Jesus showed up into that room, those that were carnally minded in Jairus's house, they had no idea what was going on. They couldn't explain it. Hey, I think back to a funeral that we had here of a little girl who passed away when I think she was 8 years old. And I think about how it did not seem like a funeral. It did not seem like a sad event. It seemed like a celebration. And I remember as the grandma came up and she was wailing because she didn't understand what was going on. And as those Spanish men were strumming away on the guitars and they were singing, and those that were spiritually minded, they saw this event and they thought, oh, I know what's going on. I know what's happening. This is God speaking. This is God doing. God has showed up in a miraculous way. But how many people missed out on it? Because they'd only known about this as a horrible thing. It was a sad thing for sure, but not horrible. And I remember that funeral as God showed up. Jesus walked in. And those that were spiritually minded, they got it. Those that weren't, they were left confused. They were left dazed. That's what happened in Luke 8. Look at verse 54. And he put them all out and took her by the hand and called, saying, maid, arise. Now, time out real quick. Let me just show you something. Now, he goes over and he grabs the little girl's hand. But as I read it, I don't see the touch of Jesus ever bringing anybody back from the dead. It wasn't until his words. And his word says, made arise. And it's the power of his word that brings life to death. It's the power of his word. Look, we want the touch of Jesus all over us, but we need to get back to the word of God. It's the word of God that can bring life again. So Jesus grabs her by the hand because he knew what was about to happen. She was going to need help getting up. And then his word speaks, made arise. And when he speaks, her spirit came again and she arose straightway. And he commanded to give her meat. And her parents were astonished, but he charged them not that they should tell no man what was done. Why did he do that? Because that was something for them. That wasn't for any, that was for them. This whole situation, this whole glorious act was for them. Now, just kind of as an aside here, think about the perspective of what's going on. 12 years here in this story that we've looked at, it means completely different things for two people. For the woman with the issue of blood, 12 years was way too long. But for Jairus and his daughter, 12 years was way too short. The woman with the issue of blood, she had that issue of blood for 12 years. Jairus' daughter was only 12 years old. Moments before, the woman was rejoicing in her healing while Jairus was weeping at his daughter's death. Troubling the master was thought to be a bad thing to do, but listen, troubling the master was in fact the only thing to do. Think back to John 11 when Lazarus died. Jesus knew what would happen, but still he himself was troubled. John 11:33, when Jesus therefore saw her weeping, the Jews also weeping which came with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled. What that does is it shows you how much a person cares. Everybody's going through different things. Everybody's got different perspectives on what they see and what's going on. But the miraculous thing is God's word can affect us in different ways in the way that we need it to. The way I need God's word is different than the way you need God's word. Maybe in generalities it might be the same, but in specifics, it's a whole different way. It's a whole different way. And so God, through his word, is able to do the miraculous for us. I can see Jairus and his wife staying up late. Their daughter is sleeping in between them. Baby on mom's lap. And the happiness that comes over them as they look at each other and they say, "Aren't you glad you troubled the master?" Look, stop trying to get all these coworkers and all these carnal people's thought on what you're going through and what you're struggling with and decisions you have and all the things that you have to work through. Trouble the master. Trouble the master. When's the last time you put a little extra time in prayer? Just seeking God's face. Put a little extra time in God's word. You decided that, you know what, I need that. I need this more than I need anything else because that's the miraculous. You need this more than you need the miracle. This is the miracle. Every head bowed and every eye closed. I wonder tonight if I can't cover every scenario and every thought and everything that people are going through. I wonder if God spoke to your heart and to you tonight in a special way. God spoke to your heart. My encouragement to you tonight is forget some sort of show. Forget what anybody thinks. Why don't you take a second and trouble the master? Maybe you can think back to when you troubled the master and he showed up. Hey, he walked down the path of back to your home all the way back. He was with you and he walked inside that empty home with you and he was able to sit there with you and he was able to do the miraculous that only you know about. When's the last time you thanked him for it? I guarantee you it's probably not been soon enough. Aren't you thankful for God's word? Heavenly Father, I pray that you please bless now the invitation time. Lord, as only you can, I pray that you would please help the thoughts, the words, the message to ring true in our hearts in whatever way. Maybe this is something that helps us and prepares us for the future. It's something that gets us ready for days ahead. Maybe it's something that helps us as we're going through the days of today. So, Lord, I pray that you please help us with that. And, Lord, thank you so much for the opportunity to come and to speak. I pray, Lord, that your will would be done in the invitation time.
Let's stand together. Begins the song of invitation. And this is no Bible study tonight. This is a practically preached message designed to help us tonight. And I love it. I love it. I love the point that he made that we want the miracle. We don't want to hear his word. That is the miraculous. I believe it was Jesus said to, I forget the crowd he said it to, but the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. They are life. So you need to trouble him. Stay after him. It was just a couple years ago that my wife and I had to pray 9 months. 9 months. Troubling the master. 9 months. But he came through. He answered. About the time you give up, you don't realize how close you were. Stay after it. stay in the book. I love the simplicity of the challenge tonight, just to stay in the Word of God. That's where the miracle is. The miracle's in this book right here. Our relationship with Christ through His Word. Tremendous help tonight. Amen and amen.